Okay. And years ago, when I first got saved, we went into church, and they was going to have Santa Claus in the Christmas play, and some of us boys, we said, I don't believe I want nothing to do with that. And boy, the old people in our church took a fit. They went crazy. They said, what? You don't believe in Santa Claus? Oh! And I said, you mean you do? They're about twice older than me. And I found out that it ain't going to hurt nobody to tell them the truth. The truth ain't going to hurt you. Them lies is what hurts people. So if we told kids one year there wasn't no Santa Claus, and the father of some kids that come here said we is a cult. So that's a cult down there telling kids there ain't no Santa Claus. Well, if telling the truth makes us a cult, then we're a cult. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's think about a few things here tonight, and I want to try to help you and get you a better Christmas blessing, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the good rain outside, Lord, that you're sending. We pray for those that would like to have been here but couldn't, Lord, or afraid they couldn't, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them and take care of them and give them a blessing at home. And God, I pray, Lord, for those that are having to work and not able to be here because of sickness, I pray you bless them, take care of them. Lord, help us to know the truth. The truth will make us free. I pray, Lord, that you'd help everyone to desire it in the inward parts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Commercialism of Christmas can really get to you. It's a money racket. I told you the other morning that somebody spent $1 million just on their box to advertise their Christmas liquor. And everybody talks about, you know, have you went and bought your Christmas liquor yet? And have you done this, and you've done that? Christmas parties, swapping wives and getting drunk and everything. And even Christians sometimes allow Christmas to cause them to backslide. When you get so caught up that you can't even, when you get home, you can't even remember whose gift is whose. And you fight and argue and fuss all the way home from shopping. And you go in debt so bad you'll never get out next year. And cause hardships on yourself, then you got the wrong approach. A lot of people go out and say, well, I got to buy them this, and I got to buy them that, and I got to spend so much on this, and I got to spend so much on that. And the gift really ain't coming from the heart. It's just trying to impress people. You know, I'll show them. I'll spend more on them than everybody else in the family. You know, and put on this big act about how much they care. And really, it's not coming from the heart. Well, that's no good. And it causes fusses and arguing. And why didn't you get this? Well, I was trying to get so-and-so. You spent more on your mama than you did on my mama. And all this stuff. And we spent more on grandma than we did on grandpa. And his feelings going to be hurt and all that stuff. And that's not of the Lord. That's not of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with giving somebody a gift. A man told me one time, said, I don't even participate in that stuff. And I said, well, a Christian, I can give a gift to anybody anytime I want to, and it ain't a sin. If I want to do it in the middle of July, it ain't a sin, right? I've done it. I take my wife a present, take you a present if I want to, it ain't a sin. It ain't a sin in July, it ain't a sin in December. And if I want to, I can take a tree and put it in my house and put lights on it in the middle of July, and that ain't a sin to me. If I worship it, or if I get down before it and I say some kind of God going to appear to me and do something supernaturally, then that's a sin. But just a tree with lights on it, you know, that ain't, the Bible says it ain't going to hurt you, it ain't going to hit you. Don't be afraid of it. It's just like eating meat. You ain't no better off if you do. You ain't no worse off if you don't. It's just up to you. But there are some things about Christmas that are wrong and that people have made wrong. I told you about a little bit about the history of it the other day. Here's a good thought. Would your Christmas plans be altered if Jesus came to spend the holidays with you? Would you change anything about your Christmas plans if the Lord Jesus was going to spend the holidays with you? Well, if you're a Christian, He is going to spend the holidays with you. He'll be there. So, far as I know, I ain't got no plans that would be changed if the Lord was coming. I'd try to do what I'm planning on doing. Well, I'd take Him with me street preaching Saturday, Be a blessing to have him right there by your side. And then we'd go through the old regular thing, come to church Sunday morning, church Sunday night, put him first, and I believe we could enjoy it. But, of course, that's something to think about. We'd all straighten up a little bit if we'd realize that he was right there beside us every minute. That's another message tonight. I'm not going to take a lot of time on this. I'm just going to get to Santa Claus himself. And we're going to tell you how that the world has made a god out of Santa Claus. The world has made a false god out of Santa Claus. And I'm not like some people say. I told a woman there wasn't no Santa Claus one time, and she said, "You're spoiling all the fun. You're taking all the fun out of it." You know what I found out? Most kids, they don't care where it comes from as long as they get it. It's mom and daddy that like Santa Claus. That's crazy, and that's who puts it in the kids' head. And so don't you mamas start holding your kids' ears tonight. They've heard this ever since they've been coming here to this church. Every year we tell them that there's no such thing as Santa Claus, that mom and daddy gives you the presents, and the sooner they know that, the better off they'll be. And I'm going to prove to you what I'm saying tonight, that it's real and that it's true and that it's more serious than you might think. The Bible said in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. Right? Now you tell me if I'm wrong by telling the truth. You tell me, you come up here and tell me you're wrong, Brother Danny, and I'll apologize. But you can't do that. All right. You say, well, what's wrong with just a little bitty, ho, ho, ho? All right, I'm going to give you 8 ways, right quick. I'm going to write them down on the board. You can write these down. How that Santa Claus is put in the place of God. Santa Claus is put in the place of God. 8 ways. Number 1. Can y'all see this back here, or would it be better to move it down there? Can you see it? Okay. Number 1, he's omniscient. That's just a fancy way of saying that he knows everything. That's Santa Claus is omniscient in the world. I'm talking about the world, the way the world pictures Santa Claus. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Everybody understands it, nod your head. You understand me? Some of you don't understand? All right, in the world's eyes, the Santa Claus that the world puts forth is omniscient. Now, you know what that means? He knows everything. There's a favorite little song, and if I sing it, every one of you know it. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Now, listen to these words now. Listen. Now, who do me and you think about when we say, he knows when you're asleep. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. See? Who do you think about when I say that? God, right? God's the only one that knows you've been good or bad, and knows when you're asleep, knows when you're awake. He's omniscient. But they say Santa Claus is. That's putting Santa Claus in the place of God. And I don't appreciate that. That hurts my... I'm jealous of the Lord. I don't like some fat slob coming in, taking the glory away from the Lord Jesus. That ain't right. I don't like them coming in, stealing the glory. If I buy my kids something, I want them to come and hug me and say, thank you, Daddy, thank you. Not go run up and hug Santa Claus and say, thank you, Santa Claus, I love you. If I'm going to work and pay my money for it, I want to get the credit. Don't you? Amen. All right? Now listen, he knows when you're asleep. He knows when you're awake. He knows everything. Nothing escapes Santa Claus. He lives all the way at the North Pole. And yet he knows what everybody's thinking. He knows if you don't do good, do what your mom and daddy says. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. All right? You got that? They put him in the place of God. Second, he's omnipotent. Potent means being able to do stuff. Omni means all powerful. He's all powerful. Santa Claus is considered by the world to be omnipotent. You say, how do you know that? Nothing can stop him from coming. Nuclear war, snowstorms, ice, he'll come no matter what. He defies the law of nature. He flies in the air with reindeer who fly. He can do anything. He visits every kid in the world in one night. Now you tell me that ain't all powerful. He goes to every kid's house. Kids ought to be able to figure that out. And a lot of them do. Kids are a lot smarter than mom and daddy a lot of times. When I was little, I used to wonder about that. I remember mom swore up and down there's a Santa Claus. And one night she left him some fruitcake. The closest I ever come to believing in Santa Claus was one night mom left him some fruitcake and coffee. And I said, oh, he ain't going to eat that. She said, well, let's leave it here at the table and see if he eats it tonight. And the first thing I done the next morning, I come through there and look, and sure enough, Daddy went in there and ate about half of it, you know. And I said, it's gone. And for a minute there, I thought, well, maybe there really is one. They almost had me believing that. But we'll get some other stuff in just a minute. But he's omnipotent. He flies, comes everywhere and goes down everybody's chimney all in one night. That's amazing, isn't it? Not only that, Santa Claus is omnipresent. Now, omni means all. You know, there's a lot of churches has him come in at Christmas time, give out gifts and stuff. And all three of them things right there that I've named, there ain't but one being in the whole creation that's got all them. That's God Almighty. They're the only one. Nobody is omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent but God Almighty. And that's what they claim for Santa Claus. He's another God. He's omnipresent. You know what that means? He's everywhere. He's watching you right now. That's what they tell kids. Have you kids ever been told that when you was little? Way back about August or September, parents start right then. And if a kid don't do what they're told, say, Santa Claus is watching you. The little kid goes like this, you know. Looks around, he sees what you're doing right now. If you don't behave, Santa Claus ain't going to bring you nothing. And the parent ruins a kid's mind just because they're too lazy to discipline them and teach them the way they should go. So they say, Santa Claus is going to you. He's watching you right now. And little kid goes to bed every night saying, have I been good? Have I pleased Santa Claus? Have I done what Santa Claus wanted me to? A kid should go home at bed at night saying, have I pleased the Lord? Have I done what the Lord wanted me to? Y'all understanding what I'm saying? It ain't just some little funny, bunny, jokey type of thing. It's a flat-out lie out of hell. That's all it is. That's where every lie's from. Even little white ones. That's where they're from. Okay? He's watching you. You better be good. He won't bring you toys. You better not pout. You better not cry. Or something like that. You better watch out. Better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. See, he's everywhere. You see, he knows when a little kid down there in Florida is pouting, and he lives in the North Pole. Not only that, he's faithful. Santa Claus is faithful. He will never let you down. He's very, very faithful. Buddy, when he makes a promise, he keeps it, don't he? Santa Claus has never broken a promise. When he promises you something, you're going to get it. But you know what parents tell their kids? They say, honey, you must believe Santa. Believe him. Trust him. He'll make his promises good. He's faithful. Not only that, you know, if he promises you something, you're going to get it. No way. Faithful are his promises. Righteous is he. That's the next one. Santa Claus is righteous. In the world, Five. He's righteous. I tell you what, save some time here, Brother Dale. How about coming up here and writing these for me? And I'll just be talking while you're writing them and everybody can copy them down. He's righteous. You know what that means? Right means always right, right? Santa Claus makes no mistakes. You've never heard of a book, you've never read a book, never heard a song where Santa Claus ever made a mistake. He never misses nobody's house. He gets them every one. He always makes it. Not only that, he's worshipped. Santa Claus is worshipped. Now, every one of those so far, the only one that deserves all of those is God. Now, I'm not just trying to be a smart aleck, trying to stir up trouble, hunting something to preach on. I just think a Christian ought to know these things. And I'm also not saying this. Don't go out the door and jump on everybody and make a big scene and make them think that all we talk about is Santa Claus here at the church. You know, you shouldn't be that excited. You should just say, well, I knew that's the truth, and go on about your business. You know, he's worshipped. Now, I'm not saying not stand up for the truth, but you understand what I'm saying. He's worshipped. They love and adore him. Do you know that? You know what worship is? Strong admiration for it. Now, listen, all you got to do to see if this is true is go to a shopping center. Kids worship him. When they see him, their heart just starts going like this. The little kids, they just go crazy. That's worship. The word worship means strong admiration for. See? They're crazy over him. They say, Mama, can I hug him? Mama, can I kiss him? Mama, can I sit on his knee? Boys and girls try to please him all year long, don't they? They worship him. They try to please him all year. Mama says, if kid does something wrong way back in July, Mama says to her sister, you know, her sister's over her house and he's being mean. She said, yeah, Santa Claus ain't going to bring him nothing either. Now, what they're doing is making the kid want to please Santa. Want to please Santa. And I'm going to read you some notes in just a moment to prove that they, you know, that he really is worshipped. The Lord said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, neither shalt thou worship them, bow down thyself to them. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. All right. Number 7, he's no respecter of persons. You can start over here if you don't care. That's it. Since there's only 2 more, this one and 1 more. He's no respecter of persons, Santa Claus is. He loves all kids, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Santa loves all the little children of the world. All right, he's no respecter of persons. You see these shows and all of these things, and I know what the world says. They say, well, there's nothing wrong with giving these little kids a figure to believe in and giving them warmth and happiness at Christmas. I believe that. I agree with that. I'm just saying it's wrong to tell them a lie. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's wrong to give kids a hope. I'm not saying it's wrong to make kids feel good at Christmas. I just say it's wrong to tell them a lie anytime. Number 8. His coming. Just write his coming up there. His coming. He's coming. You know that? He's coming. He's coming. Saturday night, he'll be here. His coming is looked forward to with great expectancy. Just put that on there, Dale, if you don't care. His coming is looked forward to. Ain't that right? Brother, you tell me his coming ain't looked forward to. These kids already right now that can't sleep this week. They're so excited. They can't wait till he gets here. His coming is looked forward to with great expectancy. Children are thrilled. He's just come in and usurped the place of the Lord. We're God's children. We should be thrilled about the coming of the Lord. He's going to come and his reward is with him. See? Just like Santa Claus. Okay? His coming is looked forward to with great expectancy. They say, he's coming only 9 more days, only 8 more days, and Santa Claus will be here. Only 5 more days, and Santa Claus will be here. He's coming, he's coming. And his coming probably is over all the world is looked forward to more than the coming of the Lord Jesus. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Santa Claus coming is looked forward to, and he don't even exist. I always wondered how kids, I guess that's because they know he's omnipresent. He can go in one shopping center, and there he sits. Go across the street, another shopping center, and there he sits. He can move fast, boy. He's swift. He can get there before you can. But he's coming as looked forward to. Now, let me tell you this about his coming. His coming is secret as a thief in the night. He comes in the nighttime when people are not in the bed asleep. And the Lord said, do not sleep as do others, but watch and be sober, that day shall not overtake you as a thief. His coming is secret when people are asleep. Will he come in the first watch, the second watch, the third watch, or the fourth watch? When will he come? Probably no other person in the world look forward to his coming like Santa Claus. And I'll tell you where he's coming. Where's he coming from? The north. Where's the Lord live? The north. The Bible said the city of the great king is on the north. When Jesus comes back, people say he's going to come back from the east, and that's why they point all the graves toward the east. Every graveyard in this cemetery in this town, all the graves are pointing with the head facing the east, because that's where the Lord's supposed to come back. But when he comes back, he's coming from the north. See, he said, as the lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But he's coming from north direction. That's where he's at right now. Now, why Santa Claus, he lives up north. He's coming from the north. He comes at night. He comes in the air. He's coming in secret. He comes to reward them that have been good. Man, oh man. You think about that. That'd a preach, wouldn't it? But that ain't what the Bible says, folks. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Is it wrong to tell the truth? Is it true? I don't, like I said, I don't want to give him the credit for me buying him a gift. Where's Carrie at? Oh, see that little girl right there? She has never been told as a Santa Claus. Never in her life, except by some nut, you know. I mean, when she's about 3 years old, she would go somewhere and they'd get her out in the shopping center and say, honey, what's Santa Claus going to bring you? She'd say, nothing. And her personality ain't warped. Amen. It didn't warp her personality. It didn't make a weirdo out of her and spoil her fun. She's looking forward to it, brother. She's looking forward to Saturday nights, believe you me. She's as excited as any kid I know of. That's right. It ain't going to kill them. I mean, she loves it. Now, I want to tell you why I'm against telling kids there's a Santa Claus. I'm not against having fun. I'm not against bringing happiness. But I want to tell you why. You listening? Then I'm going to bring this to a close. When I first got saved, a bunch of kids was getting saved. 14-year-old girls, 16-year-old boys, 13-year-old girls, 15-year-old boys. They're just getting saved right and left. One night in our youth meeting, there's a young girl, I think she's about 14 or 13, maybe 12, sitting in the back. And we tried and tried and tried and tried to get that girl to get saved. She wouldn't. Finally, somebody went back and talked to her, and they said, why won't you get saved and trust the Lord? I said, why won't you do it? She said, I don't want to talk about it. They finally got it out of her and said, why won't you get saved? She said, all right, I'll tell you. She said, when I was a little bitty, everybody told me there's a Santa Claus. She said, I really believed it. I believed it with all my heart. And when I grew up, got a little bigger, they told me there wasn't one. She said, now everybody's telling me there's a Jesus. When I get a little bit bigger, they going to tell me they ain't no Jesus. And right then and there, the Lord showed me something. When that girl said that, I hadn't been saved just a few months. Right then and there, the Lord showed me, he said, it's never right to tell a lie. It's never right. It always causes, it's a sin. It is a sin. I mean, if you tell somebody, there's Santa Claus, and, you know, if it's a man dressed up in a red suit, I mean, I reckon that ain't a lie. But if you tell him that he flies through the air and that he comes down their chimney and brings gifts and goes to everybody's house, the whole world, one night, you're a liar. That's just all there are to it. You say, well, I'm a good Christian. Well, you're a good Christian liar. That's all you are. Amen, brother. He'd have to be awful skinny to come down mine. He's a miracle worker, though. All right, now I'm going to read you some letters. Then we'll have a little discussion here. I'm going to read you some letters from the McDowell News last week of letters to Santa Claus. Now, you watch these things begin to pop out. What's the matter, Brother Don? We'll need some news. From Donnie McKinley. Nah, just kidding. All right, these are letters from Santa Claus, most of them from Glenwood School and some other schools, elementary school. And they're kind of cute, but they won't let them have Gideon Bibles now. Keep that in mind. But they tell them all to write to Santa Claus. All right, dear Santa Claus, I love you, Santa Claus. You are good to me every Christmas. You give me toys every Christmas, too. Signed, so-and-so. Remember that, what I told you a while ago? His worship. Little kid just sat there and said, I love him. I love him. All right. Letter number two. Dear Santa Claus, I like Santa Claus. I love you, Santa Claus. I want a radio and a bike. That's all that one is. Letter number three. Dear Santa Claus, I want a Barbie dream house and a car. I've been as good as I could, but sometimes I've been sort of bad. That was an honest confession, wasn't it? He's their high priest. Now, one thing you got to admire about that girl, that was a little girl that wrote that. She's honest at least about it. Sometimes I've been sort of bad. She got her in conviction a little bit there. She said, I've been good, but sometimes I've been sort of bad. Now, kids ought to be taught to talk that to the Lord. Tell them to confess. I bet about half of these kids ain't even taught to pray at home. Just, you can about mark it down. All right, next one. Number four. Dear Santa Claus, I want to know who gives you those presents. You want to know where he got them, all them presents. I'll give you cookies and milk. Will you give me a Barbie house? All right. Letter number five. Dear Santa Claus, listen to this now, worship. I love you, Santa. I have been pretty good. Me and my sister like Christmas. That's all that one. Next one. Dear Santa Claus, I've been a good boy. Please bring me lots of surprises. I hope you and Rudolph don't catch a cold. Number seven, dear Santa Claus. Now listen to this one. Spoiled American kid. I want a pocketbook and a TV and a real stove and a refrigerator and a computer. I want a baby skates. That's all. All of that, that's all. Stove, TV, computer. A computer, now. And baby skates. Whatever that is. What's a baby skates? Skates for babies? Oh, it's a doll. Okay. Number eight. Dear Santa Claus, is it cold at the North Pole? Do you like to live there? On Christmas, you will come and put presents under my tree. You can come down our chimney, but we will have to take out our wood heater first. That's what he said. Please bring me a bicycle and a He-Man set. I love you. Now, see, you know a little old kid sits around and thinks, aw, they ain't nothing to that stuff. Little old kid sitting there thinking, how in the world is he going to get down that chimney with a wood stove in it? They got better sense than that. Here's another one just like that. Dear Santa Claus, was I good? Santa, I want a Castle Grayskull. For Christmas, you better not come down our chimney because it is cracked. Your pal, so-and-so. My conclusion tonight is, The world don't like the Lord. So they have invented a false Lord to worship. And they took Christmas, as we think, which is Christ Mass, a Mass for Christ, and invented a God. Since the wise men all them brought presents to Jesus, they have just shifted that over and made it a pagan holiday out of it, or most of it, and because of that, made him a false God, and give him every one of God's attributes, every one of them. All right, anybody want to say anything or ask something right quick? Or a personal experience. Yeah, that's right. I've heard that. There'll be a time of giving Christmas presents, so it could be at Christmas time. That's halfway through the tribulation. Or that might be at the end of the tribulation. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, that could be at Christmas time. That's true. That's right. He comes in the clouds. But he comes in secret. Anybody else? Anybody ever asked him for something and you didn't get it? Yeah. Yeah, there really was one that done that. Right. Yeah, they erected a god out of it. Yeah. He's probably a good man. Yeah, right. Just like everything else. That's right. No. Mm-mm. No, I don't believe the man had any intention of doing that. He's just trying to do a good deed, and somebody grabbed a hold of it and probably was. Wouldn't doubt it a bit. Saint. I don't know. I think that means saint. Santa. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, but I think it does. I could have had all that stuff looked up and up here for you. Oh, really? Now, there was supposed to be a female. There was a female God back in the old days, well, probably before Jesus came, that was supposed to have come down the chimney and materialized in the living room and done good things for people and stuff like that. I've read that. So that may be where that come from. But there was that, you know, there were people who worshipped that female deity. Anybody else, right quick? Anybody? All right, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 10 just a second before we go. That's the scripture on the Christmas tree. They were probably doing that long time before the Lord ever came the first time. Jeremiah chapter 10. I know most of you already know it, but we'll give it to you that Hatton read it. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. In other words, it's just empty. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold, a tinsel. They fasten it with nails and hammers. That's the stand, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. They ain't bad, neither is it in them to do good. They ain't good. They just a tree like any other tree. a person is what sins, you know, a tree don't sin. Christians have taken the Christmas tree, which is all right, I reckon. Now, me personally, I can do with them, do without them. I don't care if I ever see another Christmas tree. I mean, they're pretty, but I wouldn't care if, you know, if I see one or not. If you like them, that's all right. I'm not against them, but, you know, I just don't really, I ain't crazy over them either. Like this, a Christian has taken the tree and give it some good meanings, like the tree, the light, all is supposed to have spiritual meaning, but the Christians tacked on that, see. So what you've got here is a pagan and Christian thing come together, and the pagans have tapped all their definitions to the tree and the gifts and all that stuff, and the Christians tapped all their names onto the gifts and the tree and all that stuff. As long as you, I guess it's your heart motive that makes the difference. It's your heart, what you do in your heart. Like I said, boy, I got saved that first Christmas, boy, and I sat around, man, read the Bible, and I just had myself a time. The Lord blessed me all over the place. So really, it's a condition of your heart that makes something like that, it breaks. Anybody else want to say something before we go? No more discussion. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads and pray tonight. Maybe this has helped you a little bit. Maybe if you keep these notes, it might help you later on. The truth is what makes you free. The reason you're so free is because you heard the truth tonight. And you're free. You're loose. You have liberty. You're not bound up, afraid to say something. You have the truth. Our Father, we pray that you'd give every one of us a love for the truth. Lord, help us to search for it like a man hunting for silver and buried treasure and gold. Dig for it. Dig in the Word on our knees. Seek the truth and love it. Lord, you said that charity rejoiceth in the truth. We rejoice tonight because we've heard and taught the truth. We pray that you'd bless it. And help us, Lord, as Christians, to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, before you go.